Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the show. On behalf of Disciple of City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Friends, Disciple of City exists to equip and empower Christians with simple tools on how to share their faith. We have a free video series available for you on our website at discipleofcity.ca. You can go and check that out. And for more information on that, or how you can have a team sent to your area to help you, you can email us at information@discipleofcity.ca. Friends, in November of 2025, Disciple of City held its first conference entitled Behold, and our whole Toddcast staff was there, executive producer Caden Carlton and Toddcast Media Relations Sheila Juti, and we had the opportunity to interview many people, including today, Dr. Luke Niebergall. Dr. Luke lives in Alberta, Canada. He's a recognized prophetic voice throughout this country and has a passion to teach the church how to hear God. He's also the author of over 30 books in multiple genres, with titles such as The Heart of Heaven and Born to Hear God. He also writes fiction with an alias of L.R. Knight to differentiate the different genres to his readers, and with such titles in that genre as Guardian of Time. And most recently, Dr. Luke has written some kids' books. So here with his story, Dr. Luke Niebergall. Well, good afternoon, Luke. Thank you for taking the time to meet with us today.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here. I've heard a lot about the podcast, so it's awesome to be on.
Yeah, and it's really great to meet you. And you've been one of our guests on our list that we've been wanting to have. And a lot of the times we do it online, so it's even more of a pleasure to not only have this opportunity to do this in person, but to have ministered with you last night at the crazy session that we had.
Yeah, it was awesome to see God move, and it's awesome to be here. God's moving throughout this conference, the Behold conference. So it's been really great.
Yeah. Yeah. Luke, can you just tell us, really quickly just summarize sort of how you grew up, if you grew up in the church, or was there a pivotal point or time where Jesus became real to you?
Yeah, I'd love to share that a little bit. You know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I probably won't go into the full details of my upbringing. You know, some things were amazing and some were quite dysfunctional in other ways. But I was 16 years old when I met the Lord, and I remember, you know, when I first was invited to a youth group at the age of 14. I stepped into this youth group and I was into a bunch of stuff that I shouldn't have been in at the time. And, you know, I was harboring so much hurt inside of my heart and I wasn't aware of what was going on inside of me at the time. But I entered into this youth group at the age of 14 and I saw all these young kids and there was this desire for belonging that stirred in my heart where I was like, I just want to be received by these kids by any means necessary. And so I was like, I guess I'll become a Christian, but I didn't know what that was. I didn't know that it was a relationship with Jesus. I thought it was just, you know, you do the good stuff. So I stopped swearing, stopped drinking, stopped doing all the bad things. And so I was like almost like a cup that's clean on the outside, but on the inside, I was just hurting and broken. And I remember when I was 16 years old, the youth pastor at the time, he was looking for youth leaders to lead small groups. And, you know, so this amazing man of God, you know, he saw potential on me, but he didn't know that I wasn't fully yet born again. And he was like, well, I'll make Luke one of these youth leaders and I'll give him a small group of guys to disciple. And he'll have these six guys and he'll teach them about Jesus. And so I had this small group of guys and my job was to disciple them, even though I didn't even know Jesus myself. And we're in this group and talking about Jesus. And I remember one night we got on the topic of spiritual gifts. And this was a church that, you know, we didn't talk about the things of the Spirit. We didn't talk about Holy Spirit at all. But we're talking about spiritual gifts, and we started going around the room sharing about how we felt like God had gifted us. And no one mentioned things like prophecy or words of knowledge or healing because it just wasn't in our grid. But I got to this last kid in the group, and he was from the Pentecostal church down the road. And he said, well, you know, I have a gift of tongues. And when he said that, I just never heard anything like that before. But when he said those words, it was like a fire ignited in my heart. And I was like, it really had nothing to do with the gift of tongues, but it was something authentic from love. And I said, I need to see you do this. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, can you please do this? I was like, when you said that, I felt like a fire in my heart and I don't understand that. And I was just looking for something real.
Yeah.
And this young man comes around each of us and starts praying over us and praying in tongues. And when he did, the power of God just slammed down on all six of us, all six or seven of us guys. And it was like for 3.5 hours, we were just weeping and wailing in an encounter with Jesus. Wow. And it was just this beautiful moment where, you know, this couldn't have been fabricated. Nothing like this ever happened in the church. We never heard stories of this, but the presence of God just came. And for 3.5 hours, we're just all weeping. And I got saved that night, baptized in the Spirit that night, spoke in tongues for the first time that night, and I became radically obsessed with Jesus that night.
Wow, that's powerful.
And, you know, so I've just been, you know, I got thrown into this amazing relationship with Jesus where he wrecked me in one moment. And then I've been wrecked for over 20 years now, ever since then. And, but you know, it's really fascinating because when we go through hard things, when we grow up, you know, whether it's abuse or we see the face of addiction and we feel that as children, you know, you carry that in your heart. And, you know, this is what I really felt to kind of lean into during this podcast, you know, because I had my salvation experience, but there was still brokenness inside of my heart. And there's honestly a lot of people who are going to listen to this podcast where maybe you've had encounters with Jesus, maybe you haven't, maybe you're born again, maybe you aren't, but you feel the brokenness inside of your heart. But God can actually come and heal those things as well. Yeah. So I got saved at the age of 16, but then I had to go on this journey of allowing the Lord to come in to show me that I'm actually a son. That I'm actually his son and I'm his beloved. I'm his beloved child, just like every person listening. You're his beloved child, and he wants to show you that.
Yeah.
So I remember when I was 22 years old, I met my wife Sophie, and she's just an amazing woman. And we, you know, I remember one day we were sharing about our childhoods and some of the things that we had gone through, and she shared some of her childhood, and I shared some of mine, things that I thought were normal. Because, you know, when you grow up in dysfunction, you think it's normal. You don't know that it's not, because it's all you know. And I shared some of this, and I watched this woman who I'd fallen in love with. She grabbed her abdomen, and she keeled over, and she started to weep. And she said 4 words that changed my life in that moment. She said, "Your childhood wasn't normal." And I began to realize, I'm like, oh, wow, this is why I have panic attacks every day. This is why I wrestle with depression. This is why this is why that. And what I didn't know is that I was dealing with chronic post-traumatic stress disorder. And it was just taking me out. And I remember, you know, I was like, Jesus, like I've accepted you as Lord. I've given you my whole heart, but I'm still wrestling with this hurt inside of me. And I don't know what to do with this. And I tried doing the things that we should all do. You know, I went to counseling, which I believe in spirit-filled counseling, but it didn't work for me. I tried going through deliverance, which I believe in. It didn't work for me. I tried going through inner healing, but that didn't work for me either. And I remembered about 3 years later, after just giving my yes to the Lord and just wrestling with these things in my heart, because sometimes breakthrough is instantaneous, but other times God just wants to walk us through a process.
Yeah.
And at the end of these 3 years, I'm sitting alone in my basement and I'm just strumming my guitar, spending time with the Lord. And God spoke to my heart and he said, Luke, he said, my goodness is going to pass before you tonight. And I said, okay, God, I said, I don't know what that means. Really. I know that's in the Bible, but I don't know what that actually means. And no word of a lie, I saw in my peripheral vision, I could see someone sitting next to me. And I looked over and I knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that it was Jesus. He didn't come glowing like the King of Kings. He came lowly like the Friend of Friends. And I watched as he reached over and he put his hand on my chest. And it was like his hand went into my chest, into these deep areas of brokenness and trauma. And I just began to weep. And I mean, weep for 2.5 hours. And, you know, I didn't really know how to cry because, you know, when you grow up with tough things, sometimes you have to get harder. You don't survive. So my tears were a sign and wonder. And I just started to weep. And the powerful thing is that Jesus wept harder than I did. And he reached in and touched these deep and broken places. And that was the night when he healed me from chronic post-traumatic stress disorder. And, you know, it's an amazing thing, Todd, because what God's doing right now in the church is I believe that God wants to lead us into an encounter with the Father's heart.
Yeah.
Because there are so many people who are walking around so broken and they just don't know what to do, but the Father actually wants to come in and he wants to bring healing. even though we're grown adults, sometimes we, in our hearts, we're still a little boy or a little girl that's gone through some very deep things. And the Father wants to come in and minister to that person.
Yeah. It's very, it's interesting what you say too, that you had given your life to the Lord, but there were still things that need to happen. I think a lot of people feel like if once they give their heart to the Lord, that everything's going to be perfect and okay. And that might be true for some, but it's not. And it is a process and a journey. And it's interesting, too, that you said that you went through a bunch of the stuff, counseling and different things that do help a lot of people. Yeah. But really, even in that, Jesus was obviously your counselor.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Scripture talks about how we walk out our salvation with fear and trembling, which is an amazing thing. And we, you know, we grow up our entire lives believing that we're orphans. We believe that there isn't a God who loves us. There isn't a Father who loves us. And then all of a sudden we get born again and we're renewed. We're a born again believer. We're a new creation. However, our minds still need to be renewed in the fact that there is a Father who loves us. We are a son or daughter of God. And there's this renewing of the mind that actually, it's a process. And as our minds are renewed, it actually untethers our heart so we can walk in more freedom. Yeah. And it's been amazing because we've been seeing this just everywhere as I've been traveling and speaking, just hearts being set free. I remember traveling and speaking in Quebec not long ago. I was doing a question and answer session with a group of Bible students, of ministry students. And one of them asked a question. I don't remember what it was, but I ended up speaking about how God wanted to free us from family wounds. Because a lot of us, we grew up in families, but maybe they were dysfunctional families. And sometimes we harbor those wounds. And I just started talking about family. And, you know, it's funny with a Q&A, there's no music, there's no emotionalism. So, but the presence of God just came and about 80% of the room just started sobbing, bawling. It was a beautiful thing as God the Father was just coming in and healing hearts and freeing people from trauma. And there was this one young girl that walked up to me after this happened, and she was in her early 20s. And she said to me, she said, you know, Luke, when God's presence came, I felt the Father come in and heal my heart from trauma. But she said, the thing is that I was born with deformed tear ducts, and I actually can't cry tears. I've never cried tears in my entire life. But when God's presence came and God healed my heart from trauma, my tear ducts opened, and I cried the very first tears that I'd ever cried. And she just kind of fell into me and gave me this hug, and she wept her first tears on my shoulder. And it's like, this is how real the love of God is. This is how real the love of the Father is, that he can actually reach in. He can heal bodies. He can heal hearts. He can reach into our past and unbind trauma. He can do all this stuff. And he's looking for us to just boldly approach as sons and daughters and be like, Father, I just want a touch from you. And he's just that real, and he's just that loving that he'll actually do it.
Yeah. That is so powerful. And in a weird way, ministry wise, and this might sound to some people twisted or whatever, but I love to see people cry in the presence, because it just means that to me that God's, like you said, God's ministering to them so deep. They're really experiencing the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. You know, it's really fascinating too. And I've been meditating on this so much recently, because it's the concept of encountering God as our Father. It's such a complex thing, because I don't know if there's a single word in our vocabulary that carries more emotion than the word Father. Because some of us, you know, we've had distant fathers. Some of us have had critical fathers, passive fathers, abusive fathers, angry fathers. So when we hear it's like through the cross, we're reconciled to the Father. In our hearts, subconsciously, sometimes we're like, whoa, 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 I don't know, because we perceive him through the lens of what we've experienced. But, you know, Jesus, he actually bore the weight of fatherlessness in many ways while he walked the earth. You know, Jesus, when he was younger, it talks about how there was a man named Joseph who wasn't Jesus' biological father. He was a surrogate father to him, and he was a very present father in his earlier years. But when we see Jesus grow up, all of a sudden, Joseph, he's not in the picture anymore. We know he was a good man, so I don't believe that Joseph abandoned Mary and Jesus and Jesus' siblings. It's most likely that he passed away. But Jesus, he actually experienced a form of fatherlessness from a natural biological father. And this is profound, because when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just bear our sin, he bore fatherlessness. And that means that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just abolish sin, he abolished fatherlessness by reconciling us to the perfect Father. And it's like, that messes me up. Because through the cross, we can actually tap into that Father's love that just transforms everything. There is no greater force or power than the Father's love.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Luke, there's so many things in your life that you do, you know, just oil paintings, you play piano, you have a ministry, you write books. And these are really amazing gifts of God to me, because neither of those can I do. So it's such a gift. And I mean, you know, oil painting, and I'd love to talk about all that stuff, but I don't know. I'm feeling like we should just sort of stay in this. But what led you to do ministry full time? And how old were you in that process? Like, as you got, you know, your inner healing and stuff, what led you to, you know, just want to do this occasionally?
So when I was 16 years old, after I was born again, the Lord spoke to me very clearly through a very real encounter, which I won't get into now because it's a long story. But one thing that he said to me in this encounter was, he said, you know, you're called as a prophetic voice and you're training as a prophetic voice. Or he said, your calling's not conventional, so your training won't be conventional either. And he said, a lot of people who are called to go into ministry, I call them to go through their 4 years of Bible college. But he said, for you as a prophetic voice, I want you to lay on your face for 4 years to know me as a friend. And he said, this is where I'm going to train you to hear me speak. So that's what I did from 16 to 20. I went through this process of just learning to embrace Jesus as my best friend. And I learned to hear his voice from this place. And I could share a lot with that. And I even feel my emotions stirring as I talk about that. I'm so thankful that my foundation got to be friendship with God. But when I was 20 years old, I was in a church service and there was a man speaking up at the front. There's about 500 people in the room. And this man he's known as a prophet, and his name is Charlie Robinson. I didn't know him at the time. Now he's a spiritual father to me. But Charlie, he's up at the front, and the Lord spoke to me, and I was in full-time construction at this time. But God spoke to me and he said, Luke, I'm going to give Charlie a prophetic word for you right now. And I'm kind of sitting there as a 20-year-old, and I'm burning for Jesus with all my heart. I really am. But I was questioning what I heard God say, you know, just like probably a lot of us. You know, we go through this process of learning to hear God speak. And God spoke to me and said, this is what Charlie's going to say. You've been faithful with the little, so God's going to give you much, because you've been called as a signpost to generations. And as of today, you're being commissioned into ministry. So not even 2 minutes goes by, and Charlie is he sharing a story or something like that. And he stops mid-sentence and he turns to me and he said, he said, I have a prophetic word for you. Can you stand up? So I stood up and he's pointing his finger in my face and I'm like, what is this guy going to say? And then he says, the Lord showed me that you've been faithful with the little, so God is going to give you much, because you've been called as a signpost to generations. And as of today, you're being commissioned into ministry. Now, the powerful thing is that within an hour of me receiving that prophetic word, that's when I got my very first invite to speak at a church. So I spoke at my first church I ever spoke at then, and then the Lord just started breathing on this. And then for almost 20 years now, I've been traveling and speaking, training and equipping the church to hear the voice of God, to function in the prophetic ministry and write books and all of that. But yeah, that's how I began doing what I do.
And for some people, you know, our audience is Christians, non-Christians and stuff. Could you just explain a little bit about prophetic and what it means to sort of be prophetic or operate in the prophetic and those types of things?
Yeah. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said this, he said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. So when I talk about the prophetic ministry, that really falls under the umbrella of the truth that God still speaks today. God is not silent. God didn't have enough to say that he could have the entire Bible written by speaking to these different men and women of God, and then all of a sudden he lost his voice. God actually still speaks today. And through the cross, through Jesus, we actually come into this relationship where we can hear the voice of God, because he still speaks today, so he can speak in many different ways. But yeah, that's what I mean when I say the prophetic ministry.
What was the first, do you remember, the first prophetic word that you got? And what did that look like, and how nervous were you to share it?
I was remarkably nervous. It's really funny because I travel and speak, and I stand on stages, so people probably think I'm quite extroverted, but I'm incredibly introverted. you know, I've written 32 books, so you need to be by yourself quite a bit to do that. So I was very nervous, but yeah, it was when I was 18 years old. I was in a coffee shop and I was just kind of sitting and praying in this coffee shop. And I look over and I see this man a few tables down, and he's in his mid 40s maybe. And I see that he's writing in his journal. And, you know, I'd stepped out in the past and given some very kind of basic prophetic words of what I felt like God had said to people. But I was like, God, I really want to receive a word for him. And all of a sudden what I saw was it looked like a picture in my mind of this young child, this young boy running throughout a field trying to catch a butterfly. And no matter how hard he tried, he just couldn't catch it. And God spoke to me and he said, ever since this man was a small child, he's chased after beauty, but it's always felt just out of hand's grasp. But I'm going to open doors that he's been praying to have open, and I'm going to close doors that he's been praying to have closed. So I was like, okay, I'm going to give this word. And I'm this nervous, introverted, shy 18-year-old. And I willed myself to get up and I started walking to him. And then I got nervous and I beelined it to the bathroom. I was like, okay, let's get my confidence back in order, and went back out. And I walked up to this man and I said, hey, my name's Luke. I'm a Christian and I believe God speaks today. And I felt like God showed me something about you. Do you mind if I share with you? And he said, absolutely, I'd love to hear. And you know, that's the first fascinating thing, hey, is that people are actually longing for an encounter with God. Yes. Even when we think they're not. Yeah. They are, every person. So I began to share with him and I said, I felt like God showed me that ever since you were a small child, you feel like you've been chasing after beauty your entire life, but you've always felt like it's just been out of hand's grasp. But God's actually just saying to you that he's about to open doors that you've been praying to have open, and he's about to close doors that you've been praying to have closed. And this guy's jaw drops and he's like, you have no clue what you just said. And in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, you're totally right. I'm so nervous right now. And this is what he does. He spins his journal around and he slides it over to me and he says, I want you to read what I just wrote. And I start to read it and it says, dear God, ever since I was a small child, I feel like I've been chasing after beauty my entire life, but it's always felt just out of hand's grasp. I pray that you open the doors that I've been praying to have open, and I pray that you'll close the doors that I've been praying to have closed. And, you know, it's, first of all, what an encouragement for me as an 18-year-old to realize that, you know, I'm not Isaiah from the Bible or Ezekiel. I'm this young 18-year-old that is like, surely if God can speak to people like that, then he can speak to me. So what a confirmation for me. But the thing that struck me the most is I looked into that man's eyes and he wasn't a man who was just encouraged. I could tell that in that moment, his heart was transformed. And I understood the power of God's word, that his word could literally transform hearts and set hearts free.
Yeah. Wow. And that's, to me, that's amazing at that age too. At 18, I mean, I guess, so I came to faith later, way later in life. But I just find it fascinating how God works, how God can take somebody really super young and, you know, not only speak to them, like you say, God speaks to everybody, but then give you the courage to actually share that in public with a complete stranger, to then show you how accurate he is speaking through you.
Yeah. And it's amazing. And I'm astounded by this again and again, that God's not looking for perfect people. He's just looking for a broken yes. That's literally all he looks for, you know. And it's, I have a lot of history with God now, so people will often look at me now and it's like, well, you've written books and you have degrees and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, I have some degrees hanging on my walls and I've written some books. I've stood on some stages, but at the end of the day, all I am is just a broken man who said yes to God. That's all I am. And that's all I'll ever be. And it's, we forget, it's like, there's people watching right now. You're probably working through brokenness and in tough circumstances, but God, he doesn't look at that and disqualify you. He looks past that and he sees the gold of a son or daughter inside of your heart. And he's like, that's someone who I can use. And he's just looking for a broken yes. That's it. He can transform nations with a broken yes.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. What would your encouragement be to people? You know how people think, oh, Luke has the gift of prophecy. I don't. But like you said, and it says so in scripture, that Lord wants to speak to us. So what would you say to somebody who is maybe exploring that, but kind of feels like it's not for them? That's something that's Luke's, not mine. How would you encourage them?
You know, I'm just so thankful. Again and again, the more I mature in the Lord, I feel like he points me just back to the basics more. And the truth of the matter is that through the cross, we're brought into this wonderful relationship with Him, a wonderful relationship with the Father where we can hear His voice. And every single one of us, we can hear Him speak. And like I said, all that He's looking for is just a broken yes. He's looking for someone who's willing to actually just open up their ears and lean their ears into Him and be like, God, I believe that You speak. Can You speak to me? And He will. You know, if you're watching right now, and if you just took some time, even just sitting with the Lord right now, and you just asked Him this question, Father, what do You love about me? And you stilled your thoughts, you stilled your heart, and you just waited on Him. I'm not saying you're going to hear an audible voice. God can do that, but I've given, you know, thousands of prophetic words, but you know, most of those have been given just because I've heard the still, small, quiet voice inside of my heart. When we're born again, the Spirit of God comes to reside inside of us. And Holy Spirit, He's not an external God who will speak audibly all the time. He's an internal God who will speak to us in our hearts in the still, small, quiet voice. He'll give us pictures in our minds, which are visions. So just sit with Him right now, even take a moment. Father, what do You love about me? And let him whisper affirmations in your heart. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. It says, man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So to think that God only speaks to some and not all, it's actually unbiblical. Because we actually can't live apart from hearing His voice. That's what Jesus said. So just spend some time right now. Let Him affirm you, because every single one of us, we need to be affirmed by the Father.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. So many books you've written. Can you talk about your latest book? What encouraged you with that, to write that? And what is that process like for you? Are you in prayer? Does it come to you naturally? Is it already thoughts that are there that just flow onto paper? Or what does that look like for you?
Yeah, it's a bit of a process. And I can't even, if I'm to be honest with you, I write like 4 or 5 books at a time. So I don't even recall what my last book is that I published. But like, I write in 5 genres. I write ministry books that are a lot about identity and hearing the voice of God in the prophetic. I have history books, biographies, fiction books under my pen name, L.R. Knight. And then children's books I've started to write as well. So I write in multiple genres, and I'm so thankful at the reach that my books have had, particularly my fiction books. To be honest, we have those in schools, some secular schools, some Christian schools, but we've seen so many young kids impacted through these books. And it was years ago when God spoke to me and told me to take my teachings on identity and to put them in story form and parables so I could train and equip younger generations. And it's been so powerful. And part of my testimony is when I was 22, the Lord healed me from dyslexia. So it's a sign and wonder that I can even write at all. But one of the amazing things that we see through these fiction books is I get so many emails that come in from young kids, from their parents as well, where these kids are dyslexic and they have learning disabilities, but yet when they read these books, God heals them from dyslexia. Wow. We have so many testimonies of this, and it's been just so exciting to see.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of those books into regular schools. So in a system where it seems like they're taking books out, how is it that you're able to, or your publisher or whatever, are able to get those books into those schools when a lot of times it seems like they're taking Christian content or different things, they're removing them from libraries?
Yeah, that's the fascinating thing, because I personally don't lift a finger with marketing, and my publisher doesn't either. I handle all my publishing stuff. So it's been just God's divine. I've never approached a single school to get my books into schools. They've just ended up there. And so, I don't know how that happened, but it happened. And so my books are in schools and we see kids impacted through them.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome that you're doing that as well. What is next for your ministry, and what does the next 6 months look like for you? I know we were talking on the way into here of your ministering next weekend in Alberta, but what's the next 6 months look like for you?
The next while is going to be, traveling and speaking. And again, right now, I really do carry this thing in my heart where I want to see people encounter the Father's heart. And everywhere that we've been going, I've just been seeing people impacted in their hearts, set free from traumas, anxieties, depression. So, you know, I'm thankful that when I speak, we really see God move and people weep, and God really impacts a lot of hearts. So I'm believing we're going to see God do a lot of that stuff.
That's awesome. Luke, thank you so much. We're on such a tight schedule here with the podcast, so I just want to honor your time. Friends, we'll have the description, the website for Dr. Luke's ministry that you can check out. I encourage you to check out all his books. There's a whole heap of them. We'll have a bunch of images there during this podcast and stuff. So I encourage you to check that out too. And my friend, I just have one more question for you.
Sure.
You talked about how you gave your life to the Lord, but there were inner things that still needed to be healed. What would you say to somebody who you're on an airplane with them and you realize that they have stuff and prophetically, you know, that they're carrying it. What would you say to them to help them process through that?
I'd probably do what I want to do right now and pray over people who are listening, to be honest with you. But I'd speak words to them that they probably never heard growing up, that they're loved, that the Father's really proud of them, that he believes in them. You know, and so many people, they grow up not knowing these very important truths, and God wants to actually speak in and speak these words of life to actually set hearts free. So if it's fine, I'd love to pray for the listeners and the watchers right now, because I can just feel it in the room right now. I feel like God the Father wants to touch down and touch some hearts.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So if you're watching right now, and if you need a touch from the Father heart of God, I'll just tell you, he loves you so deeply. It does not matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made, what you've gone through. Right now, just put your hand on your heart and just close your eyes. And Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, Father, that you will just touch down and minister to these hearts. And I just declare over you watching that God the Father is so proud of you. He believes in you. He's not frustrated or mad, but he loves you so deeply. And Father, I pray that you begin to just minister to areas of trauma, depression, anxiety, self-hatred. And I pray that these just fall to the ground right now in Jesus' name. And I pray that they experience and feel the love of the Father right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Really, really looking forward to hearing you speak later in this conference.
Thank you.
You have to share.
Thank you. Bless you. Thank you.